Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Together with Christ, Roger, was your sermon from Sunday an excellent sermon that just added another layer to our theme for the year? I am His and He is mine. Why don't you give, for those of us who heard it, a brief reminder, and for those who haven't, we'd certainly encourage you to go back or watch, listen at charlestownroad.org. But a few days in, what do you want us to remember from that sermon?
Well, we took that sermon from the book of 1 Thessalonians, particularly from the end of chapter 4 and through the first part of chapter 5. There are two statements, one in chapter 4, verse 17, where there he says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." And then in chapter 5, verse 10, as he talks about Jesus who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Both those passages kind of bookends this idea of together with Jesus. And so what we did is we just kind of walked through the first part of 1 Thessalonians 5 and just looked at some of the steps as he describes day and night. He makes this contrast, not talking about literal day or night or daytime people, nighttime people, but those who are with Christ, those who are not with Christ. And there's some common characteristics that just kind of unfolds in that as we looked at that. Our three major points or steps we were talking about how to be together with Jesus is there's a spiritual awareness around us, then there's an action that goes on through us, and then there's an anticipation within us. And those are kind of the steps we kind of build on as we talked about this togetherness with Jesus.
A lot of really practical reminders there in that section of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. I figured here in the middle of the week, it's been a few days, reminders are always good, but you and I both know there are plenty of things that get left on the sermon building cutting room floor. You were able just to briefly mention a few subpoints under that spiritual awareness of what is going on around us. And there's no doubt in my mind there are some who are listening right now on the way to work or to school. Maybe they've gotten the kids off to school and someone is running on the treadmill and they're listening to us. I figured it would be valuable just to think here about this spiritual awareness. If you're like me, it is a little easier to have spiritual awareness on Sunday morning. You're looking forward to everything, anticipating seeing your church family, getting ready to sing and remember the sacrifice of Jesus, to open your Bible, just to take a deep breath of fresh spiritual air. Here we are in the middle of the week, and maybe it's not as easy. So why don't we start with what sort of things do I need to be spiritually aware of on this Wednesday?
And when we use that expression, we're talking about just being alert, paying attention. You know, we are having some rugged weather come into our area, and when that happens, your driving changes. You become more sharp, more careful. You slow down. You put both hands on the wheel because it's more dangerous out there. Jesus would say in the Gospels, "He who has eyes to see, let him see." Or open your eyes or lift up your eyes. So spiritual awareness is first of all just recognizing where we are and the times we are in. This isn't heaven, and we need to remember that.
I heard one of our local meteorologists just last Monday night, I believe it was, he was talking about the rough weather that we are anticipating tomorrow, Thursday, and he was very deliberate, looked right in the camera and slowed down, very intentionally said, "No one in the Kentuckiana area should be unaware of what's coming Thursday. Now, that's just about a winter snowstorm, right? We're talking about things that are much larger in the grand scheme of things. But what I hear you saying is much the same thing. No disciple of Jesus should be unaware of the spiritual reality around us and what is coming.
Absolutely. You know, I think some of the things that we should be aware of is we should be aware of the harm that can happen to us around us. I'm reminded in the book of Genesis chapter 4 when Cain was made his offering to God and God wasn't happy with it. God spoke to Cain and he says in verse 7, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." I mean, I envision somebody walking out the house and just kind of stooped down by his front porch is sin. It's this lion, as Peter would describe, to be alert because Satan is like a lion wanting to devour us. And so what the Lord is saying is he's right there. You need to master it. You need to be aware. And so we teach that to our children when we're talking about picking out friends, pick out some of the good kids, we would say. When they're teenagers, we go through this little thing about where you're driving and don't drive down certain places and be careful of your surroundings. And it's just an awareness about that. Same thing happens to us TV. I mean, a conspiracy. It could be a simple thing like a TV show. It could be a simple thing as a Facebook exchange that dangers are out there. I need to have my eye open to them.
It reminds me, you know, every once in a while on the Discovery Channel or something like it, you'll see this footage of a herd of wildebeests, right, or something like that, and they're all together, and then one of them stops while the rest of the herd is moving on or wanders just a little too far from the pack. Unaware, and if you've ever watched any amount of those shows, you know what happens next, right? The lion is looking for the animal that is unaware.
Yeah, you know, the lion sees, but the antelope doesn't, and that's why he becomes antelope sandwich at lunchtime. So we need to be aware of harms around us. We need to recognize, you know, we can be innocent. And there's a sense of innocence we need to be, but we need to have some street smartness as well. And we need to understand that error and danger can be packaged in a lot of ways. Satan can disguise himself as an angel, Paul said in the book of Corinthians. So things can look innocent, they can look okay, and inside is all kinds of danger. We need to be aware of those things. But I think the second thing we need to be aware of is the good help that's around us. All around us is just great help to help us spiritually. Congregation is something like that. God's word is like that. And again, to be aware that these things are there to help us, they can help us see the harm that we don't see. That's why young people need parents, because parents have been 16 years old. And the 16-year-old has never been 35, but the parent has. The parent can see some things, and the parent can talk about these things. And so harm around us, and there's also help around us. That's something that will help us in our journeys.
So we take that into account. We remind ourselves here on the middle of the week, this awareness that we need to have. You referenced for us in the sermon, for instance, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. You yourselves are fully aware. That's what we're being called to be. And then you broke this down for us into a couple of ripple effects or really blessings. Number one, that this knowledge provides confidence. What sort of confidence?
Well, first of all, we know we have these awareness about us. We're not walking blindly through life and something doesn't come up and slap us in the face and say, "Wow, I didn't see that coming." We have all these warnings in the Bible. We have all these blessings in the Bible. And so it gives us the confidence. Confidence, if I walk with Jesus, I stay right behind Jesus, that word is just filling my heart, that I'm going to get through okay. It may be a tough day. Things may not turn out the way I want them to turn out. But as long as I'm right behind Jesus, right with Jesus, it will be okay. And the confidence comes from that. We just have pages and pages of God's victories in the Bible. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened? They went through that fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. Peter in prison. Over and over, what we see is God is helping his people. That confidence can help me.
So what I hear, and I think very accurately so, we're not talking about swaggering into high school or, you know, sauntering into work with a confidence that revolves around ourselves. It's not that we're full of pride. Look at me. Look at what I have figured out. Look at how holy I am. Look at how much more I know than you. It's confidence because of my relationship with Jesus. I am his and he is mine.
Absolutely. You know, it's like when a student takes a test. At the beginning of school year, the teacher may say, if you get this percentage, you'll make the honor roll of the dean's list. Student knows that. And so if he works hard, does what he's supposed to do, he has that confidence. Guess what? I'm getting on the dean's list. I'm getting the honor roll. Why? Because I did what I'm supposed to do. That's where his confidence comes, because of the systems built around us. And that will help us as we walk through life.
All right. So spiritual awareness produces the right sort of confidence. You also brought up the idea of it causing sober-mindedness. And maybe as we have a knee-jerk reaction to, okay, confidence on one side, sober-mindedness on the other, are those opposites? Does that mean that, you know, I never smile, I never tell a joke? What does soberness look like on an ordinary Wednesday for the disciple?
You know, I think some Christians got that idea. You think they just drank some pickle juice, and it's just
I've heard baptized in pickle juice.
Yeah, they just kind of got the sour look, and they're against everything. I don't see that. Soberness is a seriousness. It's an alertness, and there's that awareness coming in. In this Thessalonian passage, Paul contrasts that with drunkenness. He's not dealing with alcohol, but the idea of being impaired, the idea of being clueless what's going on, that's the drunken person, the person who's not paying attention. Opposite of that is someone who's sober. Now, does that mean he just walks through life with a frown? Absolutely not. More than anyone else in life, he enjoys life because he knows it's from God. He knows how God wants us to live. He knows where he's going because of God. And so the Christian is a joyful person. He's a happy person. He's someone who's content because he knows what God wants him to do. So there's a sense of soberness, a sense of seriousness about that. And again, as I mentioned in the lesson, we do that in other areas of life. You know, when report card time comes in and mom and dad look at that report card and the grades aren't very good, one of the first things going to come out of the parent's mouth is you need to get serious about your grades. That's a soberness. You go sit down with the doctor and he's looking at all your results and he just kind of shakes his head and says, you need to take your health more seriously. That's a soberness. And so we're applying that spiritually, that we need to be serious about our souls, about going to heaven. It's just not going to happen. It's going to happen because we're walking with Jesus.
So confidence, sober-mindedness, both come from this spiritual awareness. We talked toward the top of the episode about not being naive about the dangers to your soul. Your fourth subpoint was, don't be blind to the consequences of your actions. Why do we need to hear that, do you think, in 2022?
Well, every action has a consequence. And sometimes, you know, we hear people say, well, it's my life, it's my body, it doesn't hurt anybody. It always does. It always does. It hurts the parents who love so much. It hurts the church. It hurts God who created you for better things. And so everything you do has a consequence. You may be forgiven of a sin, but because of your wild driving, you may not have a license anymore. You may be forgiven of a sin, but because of that sin, you may have to be going to jail. You may be forgiven of sin, but because of that sin, you're now going to be a parent and you're not married. You see, there are consequences to sin. And what we're trying to drive in that lesson is don't be blind to that. Don't look at just the sin itself and say, that's not such a big deal. It is a big deal. And then behind that could come a bigger deal when you don't see those things.
It seems to me one of the tragic ironies of how clever the tempter is leading us to believe, okay, I can do this without consequence, and I have a heart afterward that is confident in my sin. I mean, you talk about being all twisted up, taking good things that are provided by God and perverting them, twisting them to the point of breaking. Confidence is a God-given blessing, right? But if I'm confident in my sin, I've got a really serious problem. If I buy into this idea, I can bite the hook of temptation and not have any consequences associated with that, I am believing a lie. Scripture is full of historical flesh and blood examples of that, full of precepts of the Lord that teach us the wise way we ought to go. But this is an ever-present danger here at the very beginning of February 2022.
When we think about the consequences of our sins and being serious about that, sometimes I think because we live in the period of grace, we made grace cheap. I've been doing some reading in the book of Leviticus, all those sacrifices they had. And when you think about offering a lamb, offering an ox, or offering a cow, there was a lot of expense to that. I looked up the other day, and a live cow cost between $2,000 and $5,000. Mm. And so if you and I had to come up with that when we do wrong, that might change our view just a little bit about sin. And so it's real easy for us just to kind of do wrong and then just say, well, I'll say I'm sorry, and it's okay. And what we've done is we've just cheapened grace. So this lesson reminds us that if we're going to be together with Jesus, that we need to be careful, and we need to be watchful, and we need to be mindful of all the things that God wants us to do.
Your last subpoint there under an awareness spiritually of what's going on around us was, don't be careless about what you are doing or saying. That sounds like really good advice here in the middle of this week.
Well, it is, and especially the latter part, careless about what we say. You know, and that carries over into social media. We can just say things, type things out, just send a little message because we're upset, don't like masks, don't like the government, this or that, and we can be really easy about losing our influence and our light because we're not being careful. Little ears hear us, big ears hear us. People make judgments about us because of what they see and what they hear. And so all of this idea of being spiritually alert, spiritually sober to all the things that God wants us to do.
It gives us confidence, the right sort of confidence. It causes us to be sober, to be aware of the danger that is around us. Let's not be naive about the dangers to our souls today. Don't be blind, willfully so, to the consequences of your actions. Don't be careless about what you are doing or saying. Great practical applications from this powerful sermon from Sunday, Together with Christ. Again, if you haven't had the opportunity to watch or to listen to that, you would be well served here in the middle of the week taking the time to do that. Roger, we're also anticipating, of course, opportunities tonight, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock p.m. You're going to be teaching in the auditorium.
And we're going through what we call the Teacher Jesus. We're looking at how Jesus taught. And tonight we're going to begin with this question, what if you were Jesus, what did you have to accomplish? And we're going to look at all the things that he had overcome to get this message worldwide and be remembered forever. And that's going to take us as we begin the Gospels through the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to go through Matthew chapter 5 and just talk about the beginning of that sermon and the great things Jesus did in his teachings.
In our Building Blocks track of studies, we are wrapping up a month-long exploration of what is God like. And we've been leaning on words of God himself to Moses when he was described as a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And we are going to wrap the series up tonight by talking about how God abounds in faithfulness. It's a powerful way of putting a bow on these attributes of God. We would love to have you join us at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. We appreciate all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're thankful for the opportunities we've enjoyed, and we're already looking forward to tonight, Lord willing, this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. It'll be the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.